In the name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, our beautiful Savior, who was rejected by his own heavenly Father, so that now we are children of God, my dear fellow redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ. Water. Water. Is there anything in life that is more basic? We come into contact with it every single day. We use it constantly. We need it to live. We use it to clean. We use it without even thinking. In fact, we're so used to water being around us that we almost find ourselves once in a while complaining that we have too much of it. But without water, there is no life. But we come into contact with it constantly. Have you ever thought about how often water plays a central theme and focus in the Word of our God, in events that have taken place in history? We think right away of the great waters of the flood that completely devastated the world as we know it and washed away sin and all of those sinners who had turned against God. But the same devastating, crushing waters of the flood held up the ark and preserved Noah and his family and preserved that beautiful promise of the Savior. Maybe you remember how Pharaoh, the wicked king of Egypt, took the little baby boys of the Israelites and threw them into the waters of the Nile River. But it was that same Nile River that held up the little ark that contained that little baby boy named Moses. Maybe you remember how the first plague, the Lord turned that Nile River into blood and humbled Pharaoh because they relied upon the Nile, looking to it as a false god. Soon after our Lord came into the world, before he began his public ministry, he stepped into the waters of the Jordan River. And there our Lord Jesus was publicly anointed as the Christ, the one sent by his heavenly Father to redeem the world. And then he stepped out of the waters of the Jordan River and he carried out his ministry of perfect obedience under the law for us. Maybe you remember how Jesus, soon before he ascended into heaven, commissioned his disciples to put water on people, to baptize in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And very soon after that great commission, on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 had water put on them by the apostles as they were baptized, being brought to faith in Jesus. How many times haven't you sat right here in the pew and witnessed a little baby having water poured on his head in the name of the triune God and being brought out of sin and taken into the family of our God? Water. Water is a big deal when the Lord uses it for his good purpose. And today we join the Israelites and we stand at the shoreline of the Red Sea and we are going to see the Almighty right hand, the arm of our God stretched out to deliver His people as He has also delivered us. And we're going to join Israel in walking through the parted waters of the Red Sea and viewing our Lord Jesus baptized to be our perfect substitute Savior. The first portion of God's Word that we're going to be reading is from the book of Exodus, selected verses from chapter 14. We read, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then right after those words were spoken, the pillar of fire went from in front of the Israelites to behind the Israelites, so that Pharaoh and his army could not advance any closer as the Israelites walked through the parted waters of the Red Sea, which the Lord parted by his power. And they were able to cross through that sea on ground that was dry, that they were able to pass through. And then meanwhile, the Lord stopped up the chariots of Pharaoh's army so that they could not catch up with the Israelites. And then we read, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, and with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. I'd like to read one short statement one more time. As Israel was standing at the bank of the Red Sea, sandwiched between that large body of water and the advancing forces of the Egyptians, as they were filled with doubt and worry and beginning to panic, the Lord spoke these clear words to them through Moses. You need only to be still. They were panicking. There was no hope. It was a hopeless situation. Why had God brought them out of Egypt and now stopped them at this large body of water? Where were they supposed to go? How could they ever be saved from this evil army? How could they ever be delivered from this powerful force? This was way too big of a situation for them to handle. There was no way that they could get out of this one. These 2 million Israelites, with their children and their spouses and all their belonging and their animals, they were in trouble. And they were terrified. They were panicking. And in the midst of their terror and their panic, the Lord said to them, you need only to be still. That was more than simply saying, calm down. That was more than offering encouragement, trying to tell them, just relax, it'll all work out. Just relax and try to have positive thoughts. Just relax and try to look on the bright side for once. This is a stronger encouragement, a promise from our God. You need only to be still. Be quiet and wait. Wait for God to keep his word. Wait for the Lord to deliver you. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself from this Egyptian army. Stop. Let God do it for you. Be still and know that I am God. And then Israel walked through those miraculously parted waters of the Red Sea on dry ground, and they were saved from the Egyptian army. They were spared, they were delivered, not because of their strength, not because they were courageous, not because they even remembered to go to God for help. They were quick to complain and lament their situation. God did all the work. It was the Lord who parted the waters. It was the Lord who dried the ground. It was the Lord who stopped the wheels of the pursuing chariots. It was the Lord that caused the water to come crashing down on Pharaoh and wipe out his entire army. It was the Lord who brought them safely to the other side of the sea. The Lord did everything. They were simply recipients of His grace, recipients of His deliverance, because God was good to them. The fact is, as we read this account, we marvel at the power of our God, but what's even more amazing is His patience, His grace, His undeserved love, in that He delivered His people and remained faithful to them, although they were not faithful to Him. And in their demonstration of how they acted, we learn that that army that was following them, as wicked as they were the slave drivers, the murderers, and the ones who had made their lives miserable, that they needed to be delivered from a far worse enemy, the enemy of their own sin, the enemy of the bondage that their sin had taken them into. And we read about that mighty deliverance by our God as we now continue by reading from Mark chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus came up out of the water, He saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on Him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are My Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with You." The Spirit immediately sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels were serving Him. The Jordan River is not quite as impressive as the Red Sea. The Jordan River is not a particularly clean, awe-inspiring river that you paint pictures of. But it was in the waters of the Jordan River where two people stand out. John the Baptist, the one who pointed to Jesus, and most of all, the one that he was pointing to, Jesus, the Lamb of God. And there in the waters of the Jordan River, our Lord Jesus was anointed as the Christ, the Anointed One, set apart to redeem the entire world. And Jesus walked out of the Jordan River to carry out that work to perfection. Moses and the prophets pointed ahead to Him, and now He is standing in that body of water as the fulfillment. And God the Father spoke, "This is My Son whom I love. I am well pleased with Him. He lives like no one else. He talks like no one else. He thinks like no one else. But He lives, talks, and thinks for everyone else." He walked out of the waters of the Jordan River to live in perfect obedience under the law for sinners like us. He walked out of the waters of the Jordan River to stand firm and remain obedient in every way because He is our perfect Savior. He walked out of the waters of the Jordan River to go to the cross and crush the ultimate slave driver, to crush the serpent's head. He walked out of the waters of the Jordan River because He is the very one who was that pillar of fire who stopped the Egyptians from advancing. And then ultimately, He who stood between Israel and Egypt is our perfect go-between to God. He stepped out of the waters of the Jordan River to go to the cross and hang on the cross as the one between heaven and earth to be our substitute and make us right with our God. He is the one that we needed in fulfillment of everything that Scripture points to. He came out of that water so that we would be saved, and that is what we are. Brought out of exile, through the water, we think about our baptism. We are reminded of that great day of our baptism, a day that most of us can't remember because we were too young, and yet we are reminded of it, that we did nothing. We were simply still. And God came to us through the waters of baptism, connected with His word and promise, to take a sinner, someone born in the image of his mother and father, separated from God. He took us and brought us into His family as He clothed us with Himself. And the Savior of the world became our Savior, saved through the water because of Jesus who has rescued us. Let's go back again to those words that the Lord spoke to the people of Israel, and now let's listen to them for ourselves. You need only to be still. When I am overwhelmed by my sin, and I think, I can't escape that temptation, how can I do what is right? I need to stop and be still and realize that God is my strength. That worry, that situation that is completely overwhelming you right now, and you have no idea how anything good could ever come out of this, we need only to be still and be reminded that the Lord is in total control and works out all things to be a blessing. When I am so overwhelmed by my guilty conscience and I wonder, could God possibly love me after what I said? After what I did, I need only to be still and be reminded that Jesus did it all. He died with that sin on His own shoulders, and He washed that sin away by His own blood. When I'm nearing the end of my earthly pilgrimage, or someone I love dearly is nearing the end of his or her pilgrimage, and I'm afraid, I'm worried, I'm racked with doubt, I need only to be still and be reminded that we are in the arms of our God who lives, who has redeemed us. Be still and know that I am God. And when we remember that, we remember we have been set free from the exile through the water. Amen.